Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine Podcast Radio. You're about to listen to an episode of Tech Done Different Podcast with Ted Harrington. Do you follow the pack or challenge the status quo? Join Ted as he explores how to succeed by going against conventional wisdom. You'll hear leaders in technology and security tell stories about how they achieve their success by doing things differently. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Tech Done Different. As always, I am your host, Ted Harrington, and with me today is our very special guest, Joy Mangano, the CEO and co-founder of The Joy Company. Joy, thank you so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh, I'm really happy to.
So I'll let you brag about yourself a little bit, or introduce yourself. I know you're not one to brag, but I will brag about you first. I was drawn to ask you to be on the show because of the really outsized success that you've achieved in the world of helping people sort of solve their problems around the house. And what I found really interesting, there's so many things that we'll jump into, but maybe I'm way oversimplifying things here, but you solve problems that you yourself experienced and that you saw people like you experience. And you went out to solve those problems and then obviously did. So thank you for being here to impart some of those ideas. And you know, if maybe you want to introduce yourself a little bit, your background for the members of our audience who might not be familiar.
Well, sure. So you say outside the parameters. I'm always outside the box in whatever I do. So as an inventor, I'm always product focused. I'm laser focused on product. And very quickly, I started at 30 something realizing that I was an inventor, you know, after having blown up my parents' toaster as a child and ripped up the garden to do organic gardening before they even knew what the word organic was. And so I, out of necessity, as you say, I started tinkering with something that later became known as the self-ringing mop, the miracle mop, which changed the entire industry of stick goods. Lo and behold, this 30-something year old mom of three. So, beyond that, discovered a platform in electronic retailing that was absolutely a perfect conduit for what I did. You know, famous now for inventing innovative products, best in class in whatever we do. At that time, electronic retailing was the only platform to go directly to the consumer and talk about your product. It's very different today. Obviously, mm-hmm. We know that. So, during that time period, Barry Diller was the CEO of QVC and then moved on to be the CEO of HSN, Ticketmaster, Expedia.com at the time, IAC now. And my success there, far be it from Barry not to take people with him where he sees success. So he purchased my company, Ingenious Designs, and it became a wholly owned subsidiary of IAC. I was an executive at HSN. So I was an executive. We were the only division that sourced and created product. I went on air with the product and so I had many hats at the time. Fast forward to a couple of years ago, I wanted to go into a more boundaryless kind of atmosphere for our companies. You know, home shopping is one vein. So we started the Joy Company, and I hopefully will be talking to you about how we have to have the ability to really shift our skis, I say. It's one of my core principles. And we have to be able to, like, you know, go where our business, our instincts, our passions are. So starting the Joy Company enabled me, you know, under that is Joy Live, which is our infomercial business. So new innovative products that need to be talked about, that, you know, where there is an education to the consumer. We create infomercials about it to brand it. We on network cable, digital, mobile, social, and also then there's the Joy Brands, which is our wholesale licensing, because remember now I'm all about product. I see the world through product. Everything I do is through product. And then a third pillar to that is the Joy Studios, which is, oddly enough, there, what's better than a movie is a musical. And there is a Broadway show musical called Joy that was supposed to come out this past Christmas, but obviously theaters are dark, so it's yet to come. And then that is where sits our network TV show that is soon to be. So a little secret there, not so big a secret soon, but so that's quite exciting. So all of that coming together, an example of why this boundaryless shopping and consumerism and being able to touch the customer at every point possible. Under that is our first franchise or brand, which is Clean Boss, where we are laser focused on innovative, best in class products for wellness and lifestyle. And certainly as it is today, and you know what we're, and it was really always in the making for the last, you know, I'd say 3 or 4 years, but we kind of fast forwarded the kinds of things that are in there, like the world's most powerful botanical disinfectant cleaner and odor eliminator, our 6-hour power hand sanitizer, the only 3-layer with a built-in filter mask that kills germs on it. And I mean, just amazing stories. And so I have been fortunate enough to take advantage in my history of some of the most amazing minds in products, scientists, all areas. And that gives me my ability today to do something like when I want to go into an industry, a category, to do it in the best way I can, best in class technology that's not out there, and in a way that's affordable to that consumer. Because I think you have to know your consumer and be so connected to that consumer, whether it's a service, whether it's a product, whether it's, you know, cybersecurity, it doesn't matter. You really have to stay totally connected with them all the time. And I am, I just dream about them constantly.
Oh, that's definitely a powerful way to frame it. I dream about them. I want to ask you about the way that you just phrased the shifting of your skis. It sounded like you were talking about how as an entrepreneur, you have to adapt not only to conditions around you in the marketplace, but also conditions maybe inherent within you where your interests might lie and passions might lie and things like that. So as you think about, you've obviously built and adapted different businesses and, you know, obviously all around product as you described, but you've adapted many times over your career. How should our listeners think about this idea of shifting their skis?
Oh my gosh. Well, critical. It's one of the, you know, it's one of my core principles. And if you utilize any one of them, there's like 25, it will impact your life and, you know, in a very big way. And that's, you know, I think for many people, so speaking just for myself, that's been my survival, right? So, you know, I started out, if you think about it, as a mom with an idea, a self-ringing mop, when people wouldn't pay more than $5 for a mop, I'm designing a mop that's a $20 item, right? Mm-hmm. And so where do I go at that time? Right into retail, trying to sell to the Kmarts of the world and, you know, and the hardware stores and so on and so forth. And, you know, that framework really didn't tell the story of what I was doing. There was a whole new way of looking at mopping, right? With the Miracle Mop. So I realized that I had been demonstrating it. And when I demonstrated it, like everybody walked away with a mop. So hence I said, okay, traditional retail isn't going to work for me. Somebody told me about this QVC, this electronic retailing place, and me being, you know, in college, the only class I cut was communications because I hated public speaking. So here I go marching up to this electronic retailer that goes into, you know, 100 million homes and say, I want to sell a mop. And as the story goes, if you saw the movie. So, and it's true. And so here I find myself on stage being able to tell that story. And obviously hugely successful because the authenticity, right? You know, if you're not authentic, if you don't, that it, you know, that consumer can smell it a mile away. And so you have to really mean what you say. You have to care about what you say and certainly represent who you are. So, you know, and that, you know, if you look at that, everybody around me at that time thought, well, here's a mop. She's all about cleaning, make a bucket, you know, and then, which I did, you know, and kind of stay in that lane because you've had such success. Well, if you look back now, it was an amazing revelation to me that, you know, the consumer, as I sit here today, probably in a very unique position because I'm about innovation. And it doesn't matter where that innovation is. I have permission from the consumer to go into any category. I have even been more successful in storage and organization with a velvety hanger, something like a little velvety hanger that a billion across America, a billion hangers I've sold across America. And it changed that industry as well. I mean, it's amazing. So, and that's because there was an innovative idea that I had. I don't, you may not know, but, you know, a few years ago, I was the first person to launch nonstick ceramic cookware. There was only traditional nonstick that nobody really thought about. Everything was made by DuPont or, you know, and nobody really paid attention to it. It's just their eggs didn't stick. That was wonderful. Well, they never heard of PFOA. They never heard of PTFE. And, you know, together with a brilliant group of people, we went up against, you can't imagine that industry. You know how big that industry is? So we were going to launch something that literally would turn that industry upside down. And I remember my son at the time was with a law firm, Cravath, Swain & Moore. And he's like, Mom, you can't do this. You're going to be in, I mean, you're just going to be in big trouble. And we did, we stood up on stage. It was a year of just getting legal approvals for this ceramic nonstick that could go to high temperatures. It didn't have those chemicals in it. It was safe for the families. There was an amazing story about it. I launched it. The consumer literally, it was probably one of the most amazing product launches ever. We sold out of it within hours and it changed ultimately the entire cookware industry as it is today, right? Because now if I say, do you have any cookware and is it ceramic nonstick, right? You know, I don't know if you do, if you cook, you do, but it just changed an entire industry. So, you know, so I'm not staying in a cleaning lane only. I realize that diversity and having the permission. So you have to really think about, I earned that permission from the consumer to be, you know, that representation of innovation, no matter where it is, if it's in luggage with new luggage wheels that I designed, if it's a mop, if it's a hanger, if it's an amazing clothes steamer that, you know, has 50 million bells and whistles, if it's new and innovative and it really is meaningful to them, Clean Boss, you know, in these times, a disinfectant cleaner that is also an odor eliminator that is a botanical cleaner, has the fastest kill time, is EPA approved and safe for children, pets, everybody. It's just an amazing product that's needed today more than ever. But this was 10 years ago we started this. So pretty phenomenal that it is, couldn't be more apropos today, right? So nonetheless, I think that diversity, that ability to branch and go where I naturally had an inclination and to follow it, to really follow it and follow through with it, you know, was a major, major part of my success.
Yeah. So this idea, the way you describe it, earning permission from your customers, I love it. I want to explore this a little bit more, because what I'm hearing you say is that because you earned that permission, that's what enabled you to move out of your, you know, where you succeeded originally. You could have gone deeper and deeper into that, but because you'd earned that permission, you're able to succeed in other places. So, and I guess we echo back some words that you said earlier, which is really interesting. Know your customer so well, dream about them, all that stuff. What would you say it is that you did that our listeners could also do that helps them and helped you earn that permission? I mean, clearly you solved a problem that the market responded to with their dollars. So you were onto something. Was it more than just you solved the problem? Was there some other element to your leadership or entrepreneurial approach?
Yeah. Well, you know, it may seem a little, you know, counterintuitive, but I say you have to tune in with empathy to the consumer. It is critical. And, you know, I had the ability to stand in front of, you know, 100 million homes once a month, month after month after month, and actually get live feedback from, I mean, the callers would literally talk, you know, I didn't know who they were. It was really live and nothing rehearsed. And now obviously through, you know, all forms of communication, I am so tuned into that. It's so part of my fiber that I couldn't be an inventor of product. I couldn't be delivering to that consumer, you know, it's not just everything is a product, right? So it doesn't matter if you have a restaurant and you're cooking, that's your product. That's your, and your service is your product, right? So if you don't, you know, really tune into that and care for them and work to whether it's solving their problems, making their day better, making their life a little bit easier, you know, a little more affordable. And I try to fill all of the above. I try to check off every checklist. If you don't know me yet, you know that I'm trying to check off every box of all of those things. And you know what? Today, there's no doubt in my mind, we have the smartest consumer ever on all levels, in all forms. So if you are not authentic about it, and they know it. And I think that authenticity, that tuning into with empathy to that consumer, kind of opens up a world. And you know, and what happened is, instead of just bring me a great self-ringing mop or a velvety thin hanger that I have more room in, my clothes won't fall off, you know, what else can you do for me that'll make my life better? And I responded to that, and therefore I was able there. It's very unusual to be able to be in the product business and go across all categories. I mean, they're from towels to bedding to, I mean, you just can't imagine, to home fragrances. It's just been amazing to the first affordable leather handbags that I did with Iman. I mean, you know, so we did, you know, it was all sorts of things, but the common thread was me tuning into that consumer and knowing what they really, really wanted and needed.
Yeah. So that's maybe there's some nuggets of wisdom in addition to obviously the main nugget of wisdom, which you just shared, but maybe there's parts of this we can extract out, because if I think about people that are in tech or people that are in security, if they're in a business to business model, which not everybody is, you know, some people are selling business to consumer, but if we think about the people that are business to business, they often know their customer directly. And that could be their actual paying customer, like they're selling to some enterprise. Or it right. could be their customer within the enterprise, like the other business unit that they serve or whatever. Yep. They actually know those people. They can actually ask questions of them. And what you've been able to do is to really get to know your customer without directly knowing all millions or hundreds of millions of them. How did you do that?
Well, you know, that's it's. I had one of the luxuries I had was to be able to directly be relating to them. So the way, you know, I guess a newscaster is there, you know, live TV had a very big, play in what I did. Right. So I got real time results. I literally, if I had a product, we would watch the sales. We'd know if they liked it. We'd know if they liked the price. We'd know if they liked the product. As years went on, the consumer would buy my products even before I launched them, even before they knew what it was. So that's the trust factor. That's amazing. I mean, that is such a gift, I can't tell you. And, you know, and it goes back to something that you do as well. You know, the concept of security is, you know, it's I look at it holistically. It's about trust. It's about the consumer trusting us and on so many levels. And we partner, you know, obviously in one of our aspects, we partner with Shopify and NetSuite and many others. And, you know, and we sell to the customer, we take their credit card and they have to trust. And I have to trust the businesses that I'm involved in to do what they do best and keep that, you know, secure for me, because, you know, I'm representing something to the consumer, not just an amazing product that they trust in, but my whole system. Mm.
Yeah, that's a really powerful point, right? You are inherently making a promise to the customer that by buying your product, they're not going to have all of their credit card information, banking details, et cetera, leaked. Yeah, I totally agreed. And it's about trust. That's a great point. I love this perspective that you're introducing about authenticity and being authentic to yourself, and people can smell from a mile away if you're, you know, not being authentic. So that advice is it's both easy and difficult, right? Easy, like be yourself, and difficult, like, am I allowed to be myself? So how did you, and this might be hard because people who are authentic are often instinctively authentic, and that's probably just your instincts. But if you were going to try to break it down for someone who might be struggling with how to be authentic, not because they are a charlatan or misrepresenting themselves, but how do they let the true themselves come through? What are the things that when we're being authentic resonate with the people we're trying to, you know, communicate that authenticity to?
Right. So the first thing that's a little counterintuitive is you don't have to be an expert. I mean, you know, you don't have to be really great at something to start something. So you don't have to be an expert, but to represent, and because anybody who's an expert, as you know, there may be time that goes on and something new happens, they're not the expert in that anymore. So I always say there are no experts, right? Because it's an ever evolving thing. But you know, I think that first and foremost, you have to be in a comfort zone for yourself, right? You have to be able to, whatever you're doing has to be, I think, somewhat organic to you. Even if you're, you know, representing somebody else's business or doing something else, it has to feel organic to you, and you have to feel true to it. You know, I always say my principles in my personal life are the same principles in business. I function all that way in one world. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things about that has been a kind of rocket fuel for my success is my passion for what I talk about. So there are some things that I have worked on for like 5 years by the time I'm talking about it. And when I say talking about it, it could be through social, it could be through digital, it could be on an infomercial or on live TV or on a news program, right? But, you know, I am innately so passionate about, you know, product and when I'm talking about it. That absolutely is something that registers with people, right? You know, that, because if you don't know what you're talking about and you are not passionate about it, I don't know how you're going to get somebody else excited about it, right? Yeah. So, you know, so I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, it doesn't matter really if it's something that you've created or you're in a field where you're representing something. It just, you know, you have to be true to that. You have to feel that. You have to be passionate about that. And that's why I say that, you know, when you are able to do what is your passion, it's just a beautiful thing, right? It's just a great thing. It really is. That, to me, I feel that life was a gift in that aspect. I mean, I worked hard for it, but that's a gift that I'm able to do that.
Right. Yeah. When work is play, you're winning the game, right?
I'm telling you. And I never stop. I mean, I never sleep. It's just everything. My family works with me. Don't let anybody tell you that, you know, separate family from business. The way you can work it out at home, you can work it out in business.
Oh, that's pretty good advice. Yeah. That's definitely thinking differently.
Well, no. Yeah. Because if you really think about it, you know, if you love what you're doing, what is better than doing what you love with the people you love? And, you know, it's just been an amazing path, right? So, and, you know, business is hard, family is hard, people are hard, life is hard, you know, it's always something, but you have to, I look at that, I look at life, everything's a product. So you look at it, if something's not going right, you have to fix it and make it better. And, you know, and so it's just been a very, very big blessing for me.
Oh, that's really cool to hear. And even the way you just sort of summarize that all together, you've described what I believe is the whole ethos of security, make it better. And that's our whole mission. Like, something is never secure, right? But it can be better today than it was yesterday, and it can be better tomorrow than today. It sounds like that's part of what you advocate for as well. What's your take and philosophy around that idea of constant improvement?
Oh, well, it's interesting. I have a little, core belief that life is not a lottery, you know, and people think, oh, you know, you get to a point, you make something better, you have success, and that's it, you're done, right? Totally wrong. Totally wrong. That's just the beginning, right? That really is just the beginning with, you know, once you, you know, and there are success on all levels, right? You know, so along the way, I mean, I'm working harder today than I did when I, you know, when I sold my first 20,000 Miracle Mops. So it's really, you know, yeah, maybe there are some people in life that get to a certain point and say, hey, I did this, I'm done. But in general, what percent of this country is small businesses and entrepreneurs and everything? That is, you know, there's success on every level. And, you know, and I say celebrate that, those successes along the way, but never, and I've never thought that there's a point in time where you get somewhere and then you kind of sit back and relax, because no, there's the next, you know, there's the whole next level of what you can do because of what you've created.
Sure. And certainly someone like you, and I have some similar wiring, you know, the kind of people who are motivated to build things and improve them and make them bigger and solve problems, that's just like part of you. You don't just one day say, and I no longer want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You're probably more pumped when you have success and you're like, okay, what's the next thing? Right. You know, and, you know, along the way, I think, you know, for a lot of people, for me, do you know how many times I heard the word no? I can't tell you. And so one of the things that I say to many people, no is not a no. No is just go back and either figure out another way or, you know, solve that, you have to get past that no. And obviously within reason, right? You have to be realistic, but I can't tell you. I mean, some of the no's were like, don't even bother, Joy. You're it's never going to happen. And, you know, and yes, it made me step back and analyze exactly, you know, everything from the business aspects to product aspect to everything. But that no always turned into an amazing, amazing success. Believe it or not. So I firmly believe a no is not a no.
Oh, I'm with you on that for sure. It just gets you closer to yes every time you hear the no.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, but some no's, as you noted, are in fact, that is actually a no. How do you distinguish between the two? Because sometimes that no can feel final or permanent. It's like, but if I just do it this slightly different way, so how do you parse that?
Well, I think that, you know, that's something that I think is very personal, right? There are people that really don't put that in perspective. Like, no, you can't sell your house to try this, you know, because then your family won't have a home. I think that no makes sense. You might want to think about that. But, you know, one of the things interesting, you know, in my industry of product and certainly product on TV, there's this whole world of trademark and patents and knockoffs, right? And so, you know, if I look back, I probably, and that, in my opinion, my son's, I stole him, but he was a litigator for a major law firm. You know, I think that the patent trademark laws and are really haven't kept up with what, you know, with what certainly I'm experiencing and have experienced in my life. And, you know, and I think as I look at that, you know, there's in particular with Miracle Mop, right? You know, I had, it was a patented product, but, you know, we had somebody manufacturing it. I lived in New York and in California, and we got this huge order from QVC, and they found out about it, and they were kind of unscrupulous. Let me just put it that way. And they raised the price, and I would have lost money to make all this huge life-changing order for QVC. So I embarked on getting the molds and bringing them back to New York so we could manufacture it, having never done that in my life. My lawyers in New York said, there's no way you're going to get any judge, any court to allow you to bring the molds. They have possession of them. You know, it's just never going to happen. They're never going to let you take these molds. And so I flew to California, took my lawyer who said, you're not going to accomplish this. We met with a California lawyer who to this day says, I've never had a case like this in my life. It was just amazing. And so these, this business who was manufacturing the mop parts for me, said I can't take them because they knew what a huge future it was. We went to court. All the lawyers spoke, and it was kind of over and gloomy. And I got up and I stood up there and I told the judge, you know, I told him a story about everything, all the details that kind of were the legal details, but other details. P.S. The judge issued an injunction that the next day the sheriffs were to go to the plant, take the molds. I was to come with the truck, and that they would be arrested if they didn't hand the molds over to me and let me truck them back to New York. It was the most unbelievable. There's a very legal name for that, which I forget at the moment, but it never happened in the history of it's just such a rare occurrence. But there you go. You add the human element. You add a judge sitting, I'll never forget him, sitting up on that bench. I believe in the justice system, always have, and looking at the situation and making that decision, which was a legal right to sit, but normally takes a very long time to issue an injunction like that is very unusual. And that was that actual decision by that judge, me having the courage to go out there and do that, changed the entire landscape of the future of my life, period.
Wow. What an incredible, incredible story. And I love that you did not take no for an answer in that so that we could have that story and have you here today. That's just incredible. I'm super inspired. So as our time comes to a close here and we start thinking about sort of the future of what's coming next, what is something that, from your worldview, you see how the world is going to change in the next 12 or 24 months?
Oh, well, if you ask me how I hope the world's going to change in the next 12 or 24 months, you know, obviously we have had one of those, talk about changing your skis. The whole world has had to shift their skis. I think there's, you know, obviously, one of the businesses that we've created, the franchise of Clean Boss, is about health and wellness and answers a lot of the needs that we kind of didn't, I thought about because I'm a cleaning fanatic, but you know, a lot of people didn't think about. Our lifestyle has changed. I think you know, it's taken certainly business and move them into another arena, right? A lot more is going to be happening in a different way, not lunch, you know, tomorrow at down the block kind of thing, which leads into the world of what you do, right? You know, is a lot more is going to be happening. A lot more is happening already with consumerism and, you know, not walking into a physical brick and mortar retail store. I think today there are many more platforms available to entrepreneurs, small businesses that never existed when I started. I think that is so inspiring. And the accessibility to do that is so inspiring, right? You know, you go and you see all these fabulous little, you know, the products that people have. And you know, so I think, you know, having watched recent times and having watched it hurt, you know, a lot, but small businesses in particular, you know, I mean, they represent what, 70% of America. I think, you know, for me personally, I'm on a mission to, you know, bring an awareness to that and help that arena. So we can talk about that our next podcast. Yeah. But you know, and we're working very hard at that because it's very meaningful for me. But I do think that this has opened up many avenues for anybody with, you know, in any arena for that consumer, that viewer, right? You know, what I do is I try to change the viewer into the consumer, right? You know, they're not just watching. We need, you know, I'm about products. So I think the opportunities are going to be more robust than they ever have been in the past. And it really has condensed that process.
Wow. What a super positive note to end on. I think a lot of people are tired and burnt out from this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And to hear you talk about how bright the future is looking, I couldn't ask for a better way to end this episode. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, and thank you, Ted. Thank you so much. And good luck to you.
Indeed. Joy, thank you so much for being on the show. You've been an amazing guest. I'm so excited to keep the conversation going with you. And for everybody else who's listening, if you want to learn more about this episode or request to appear yourself, just go to tedharrington.com/podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Tech Done Different podcast with Ted Harrington. If you learned something new and this conversation made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.